So I've been talking to my mom about the old days when women used to go to church with hats on and gloves. Remember that? So I thought, you know. Glamour, absolutely. But why am I wearing this pot lid, really? Anybody know? Right, just because? Because I thought it looked good with my outfit. Actually, I'm wearing it in solidarity with fleas. Yes, fleas, everyone online. I said fleas. We're so glad to have you all. But why fleas? Well, so there was this experiment done with fleas. And the fleas were in a pot, and they were jumping out of the pot all the time, right? So then the scientists put a lid on the pot, and the fleas were hitting the top of the lid and falling down. Their little bodies were hitting the bottom of the pot over and over. So finally the fleas went, okay, I'm not going to jump that high. Turns out fleas are pretty smart, right? So they began to jump just below the pot lid top, just so they wouldn't get hit anymore, right? So the scientists then took the lid off, and guess what happened? They still jumped low. They never again jumped to their freedom. Ah, where is your pot lid? That's all I have to say, no. Kind of is, but that's okay. I'll string it out a little bit. I got a few stories. But seriously, this idea is so helpful to visit, because today we're talking about generosity. That is a key part, right, of our prosperity is to be the nature of giving, to tap the nature of giving, to be in that generous flow. And how can we do it if we put a lid on things, right? If we put a lid on our prosperity, if we put a lid on our potential, if we put a lid on what is possible for us. So we're doing a prosperity class right now, too. And Thursday night in class was the week that we spent looking at our history of money. And so how did we formulate the ideas that we have about money from our families of origin, especially, but just growing up, you know, what were some of the things that we decided were true about money? And I ran into one of my lids again and remembered again that I'm not totally out of the woods on this one. And so even though when I looked back, I went, oh, okay, I got a lot of good positive prosperity teachings out of my childhood, but there's this lid that's still a little bit there. And where it came from was in high school, I noticed that, you know, our family wasn't the wealthiest family, but we definitely had more than the average student that I went to high school with. And I had this idea that wasn't okay, like that there should be more equality, right? So if others had less, then I should have less. And so if I ever had like a pair of designer jeans, I would always rip the label off because I didn't want anybody to know that I had designer jeans, you know? And then I would look around and I would see the people that had a lot, and I saw what they did with their money, and it seemed to me it was all very materialistic. You know, I would see bigger houses and fancier cars and nicer clothes and that kind of thing. I didn't get exposed to a lot of philanthropy and giving and generosity. And so I did some, but not to the point where I really could equate that wealth and generosity were not mutually exclusive. Instead, I got this idea that wealth and was something that was not for me, right? Because how could it align with my spiritual burgeoning, blossoming spiritual ideas about life, my progressive ideas about life, right? So deep down inside, some kind of very subconscious belief that to be poor is noble. Anybody carry that one around still? Yeah, right? A lot of us do. And that's a lid, right? That's a lid. That's a place where we get stuck. Because how can we give generously if we are stopping the flow? So that the spiritual law is the law of circulation, right? So as we give, so we receive. There is this constant flow. And wherever in that infinite flow there is blockage, that's where our spiritual work is. because we want it to flow, right? We want to be a part of the divine flow. Do we think of God as the divine spirit as poor, as not having enough? No, we always think of abundance, right? Of prosperity in every way. And of course, this is not limited to finances. Our class is focusing on finances. But prosperity is everything good, right? All the goodness in our lives that we want to come forth. So this old affirmation that I came up with a long time ago, I decided in class it's time to dust that off and start working with it again. And it is, I am wealthy and generous. I am wealthy and generous. You want to say that together? I am wealthy and generous. Doesn't that feel good? It's just wealthy in every way, right? And you can even maybe feel a little sticking point for some of you who might have a similar one to me when you say it. When you say wealthy, I am wealthy. How does that feel? Are there any sticky points there? You know, that points us to the places where we want to take the lid off so that we can flow in this spiritual quality of generosity. So what is your lid? You might do, similarly to our class, some journaling around some ideas of how did I get my ideas about, we can focus on finances for a moment, about financial prosperity. How did I formulate ideas about money? What was said about money in my household? How was it treated? Was it disregarded? Was it, you know, just spend? Or was it like, hold on tight? Was it there's never enough or there's excess? You know, what was the sense that you had about that? And how do you carry forth those belief systems today? And do you still really believe them? And if not, that's where the work is. Right? We have these subconscious ideas that are still running the show, and yet intellectually we've moved somewhere else. And so finding that dissonance is the key part of opening up the channels for us. So everything can flow, so we can flow in the goodness. So generosity is the quality behind giving, right? Giving is the practice, and generosity is the consciousness behind it. And that's what we want to work with, is the consciousness and the practice. So really, this pillar is generosity and giving. It is generous giving. It is that willingness to be in both of these energies. And we can give in any way, right? We can give of our time, of our talent, of our treasure, of our money. We can give of our affection. We can give of our attention. There's so many ways that we can give into the world. So there are some familiar sayings that point us back to this key principle, the law of circulation, this key prosperity principle that are kind of common sayings, but they're true, right? What goes around comes around. Did you ever hear that one? Or you get back what you put in. Or as Friedrich Nietzsche said, beware of spitting in the wind. So as we give, we receive. As we give, we receive. It's a universal law. It's a spiritual law. So what does that mean? It means it's an unchanging. It just works. The law works regardless of what we do. Whether we participate in it, we disregard it, we try to counteract it. Anybody try to counteract these spiritual laws, right? We do it all the time, right? That's what the lid is. It's a counteraction. It's a resistance to the law that exists. When we stop the resisting, we flow in it and with it. So we can ignore it, we can counteract it, or we can work with it. It works a lot better. Life works a lot better when we work with it. Everybody experienced that before? When you're in the flow, when you're in the creative flow, you can probably experience that when you're in love, when you're in that kind of energy. It's that energy that is prosperity in action, that is living our prosperity. So on the Sermon on the Plain in Luke, now that might be a new term for you. Sermon on the Mount is the one we always talk about, right, in Matthew. But the Sermon on the Plain is similar, but it's specifically on the plain. It's said that Jesus is standing on level ground when he gives the sermon in Luke. And that's to really communicate that these are grounded everyday teachings. Right? So this is what Jesus says: give and it will be given you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. And then some. often is the case. So at first, when we're working these spiritual principles, when we get connected to the law of circulation, we might think, well, I'm going to give so I can get, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's really nothing wrong with that. It's part of our process. It's part of our working the law and seeing how it works. And why wouldn't we want to be blessed? And there's so much more, right? So as we give to get, and we see how we give and we get, then we begin to practice it more because it's fun, right? It's fun to give. It feels good to give. It feels good to give from our hearts. It feels good to give in that kind of unlimited space. And as we begin to play in that arena, something shifts. And we don't just give to get the goodies for ourselves. We give because it's a natural impulse to give. We give because we are a bringer of joy, and it brings us joy to be a bringer of joy. Isn't that the experience that we have when we are in the flow of generosity? So there's many, many, many ways we can give, right? Many approaches that we can take. One that I think is really important is to give, to spend, to expend our energy, our time, to give away, whatever it is, in alignment with our values. This is another big piece of our class that try to see how we spend and then how does it align with our values. So I had an experience with this recently that was really poignant. We've been in the process of selling my mom's house, well, getting to the sale point, and in the process had to have a big estate sale and go through a lot of things. And so one of the times I was home back in Chicago, we interviewed several companies, estate sale companies. And we just got the impression that here's one of the prosperity myths. This is just the way it is. So we interviewed a couple and they said, well, you get a dumpster. And so after we do the estate sale, whatever doesn't sell and we can't get to a charity goes in the dumpster. And then they explained that they didn't have really strong relationships with charities anymore in one case. And it's just like my heart was breaking. Like, really? We're just going to like throw a bunch of stuff that people could use into the dumpster? And so we went to one of these estate sales, and sure enough, it looked like that's what was going to happen at the end of the sale. So I just thought, there's got to be a different way, you know? And so I kept digging and asking around, and then I found the cleanup king, Tom Nee. Tom Nee grew up in Chicago, and he didn't have a lot, and neither did the people around him. But he was aware that there was a lot, that there was a lot of stuff and abundance around, that if it could just be circulated, it could get to the people who needed it most, and there could be a sharing of the wealth. So as I'm talking to Tom on the phone, who started this business and has been doing it for decades, he had the same kind of passion that it sounded like he might have stirred inside of him as a kid. And I was like crying as I was talking to this guy. I was like, oh, Tom, I really want you to work with us, you know. So long story short, he did. And then I talked to him afterwards and I said, were you able to get a lot of the stuff to charity that didn't sell in the estate sale? He said, oh yeah, in fact, he said, several of your really nice pieces of your mom's furniture went to Ukrainian refugees. And I was, yeah. So, you know, it's like we sometimes have to work a little bit to find the places where the giving aligns with our values and it's worth the work, right? So don't just spend in this unconscious way, but really think about, is this how I want to invest? Is this who I want to work with? Are these the practices that feel true to my own nature? So we can give bravely too. You know, sometimes do you ever hold yourself back from saying something to somebody nice that you think? Anybody ever do that? Like you think something really nice about somebody, like great qualities, or you really like how they did that or how it made you feel, and you just don't say anything. And I think a lot of times we do that because we're not sure how it's going to be received, or we don't know them very well, or it feels a little bit awkward. And I want to just encourage us to do it anyway. And do it without strings, right? So there are. So if we can give from this place of generosity, it doesn't have the strings that say, I need this person to respond a certain way. You know, we can just give even without a thank you. I can just give. I can just give because I am demonstrating generosity. And here's the thing, to know that with Source, there are infinite channels, right? So this idea is as I give, so I receive. It's not always like I give to this individual channel and I get from this individual channel, right? We just give out into the world sort of blindly like Spirit does and just let the giving happen through us. And it does come back in myriad of ways, not necessarily in that straight A to B, B back to A kind of line. So if we can give bravely, give because the impulse rose in our hearts and then we put a lid on it, don't do that. Take the lid off and let it come all the way through because it will bless us greatly when it does. It blesses us greatly to speak the truth, to be able to share our hearts, to be able to say whatever it is that is bubbling up or do whatever it is that is bubbling up inside of us as that spirit of generosity is stirring in us. So it could be a smile, could be a listening ear, could be a little attention, it could just be, you know, affection. You might give somebody a flower or a compliment. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's just following that true urge that comes up inside of us and taking the risk. And giving into the mystery. Now this is fun, right? It really gets fun when we start participating with the spiritual mystery of, I don't know where it's going to come from. I'm just going to give for the fun of giving, right? I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know how it's going to impact people necessarily. I'm just going to give, and we'll just see how things come around, as that saying says. So this is a story of generosity that comes from markandangel.com. This man says, on my way home from work one day, I noticed that there was a man on the side of the road. He was elderly, and he was struggling to get his spare tire on his car. And so I pulled over to help him. And he said, as I approached the man, it didn't take me long to realize I knew him. It'd been about 30 years since I'd seen him, but I recognized him because he was the firefighter who pulled my family out of a burning building when I was a kid. And he said, I worked on his tire. And we chatted a little while, and then we just turned and looked each other in the eye, and we reached out our hands and shook hands, and at the exact same time, we said, thank you. We never know, right? We never know how life is going to interweave, how things are going to come back around until we enter the mystery with a willingness to just give because something has come into our path, an opportunity for us to demonstrate generosity. So give to the mystery of life, and sometimes just give in silly, joyful ways. Anybody know the poet Shel Silverstein? Yes, many of you do. Where the Sidewalk Ends was one of my favorites growing up, that book. He says, draw a crazy picture. Write a nutty poem. Sing a mumble-gumble song, whistle through your comb. Do a loony-goony dance across the kitchen floor. Put something silly in the world that ain't been there before. Giving is endless, the ways that we can give. We can give in very small ways that have big impact, you know? A lot of times in our spiritual talks, we talk about big universal things, right? Don't just love personally, love universally. Don't just think of home as your home. Think of the earth as your home. Don't just think of, you know, the people around you, but think of your siblings as all of humanity. And this is prosperous thinking, right? To always expand. And don't forget about the personal. Don't forget about the little things. Don't forget about the everyday ways that we can give to the people who we share our homes with, to our families, to our friends, to the people, to our coworkers, to the people who are part of our everyday lives. Here's another story from a young man to this point who was witnessing his parents. So one day, he and his dad are getting in the car, and his dad throws him a a roll of paper towels, and he has some window cleaner in his hand, and he hands it to his son. And his son says, "What's this for, Dad?" And his dad says, "Well, I just got off the phone with Mom, and we're going to be going right by her work, so I thought we'd go by there and do something nice for her." He said, "She told me that when she was coming to work, which was at a school, that her windshield got full of bugs." And he said, so we're going to surprise her. We're just going to go clean her windshield off on our way to do their errands or whatever they were doing." And he looked at his son. He said, "It's the little things, kiddo. Don't forget." So they get there, and they're cleaning the windshield off. And Mom happens to come out with her kids at recess at the exact same time. And the son witnesses the smile on his mother's face and the love between his parents who have been married for 40 years. And it has an impact and a lasting impression for his entire life. Probably the way that he would treat his future partners in life, right? It's those things, those little things that add up. It's the little things that not only bless the giver and the receiver, but also those who witness. And so to know, especially with our children, what they witness all the time in the ways that we interact. If you have children in your home or around your life, think about the ways that you interact with the adults that you love. Is it loving? What are you teaching them? Teach them generosity. We need a generous generation to take over, don't we? And seven to come. We need all those generations to understand and to live the principles of generosity to heal and to transform our world. We do it by doing it ourselves, by being the example of being the power of generosity in action, by even the very little things that we do that are loving and kind for each other. And while the ways that we give are endless, at the end of the day, what really matters is that we give from a certain kind of consciousness, a spiritual consciousness, a prosperous consciousness. You know, have you ever been given to in a way where somebody says, "I'm going to pray for you," and it doesn't really feel like a gift? It's Pride Month, I can tell you. The LGBTQ community has been prayed for in this way many times. And so it's this idea that we are imposing our values on someone else is not a gift. It really isn't. And so we need to just check our giving, right? Am I giving because I want a desired outcome? Am I giving because there's a sense of indebtedness, like if I give, then they're going to owe me? Or, you know, it's just, there can be subtle things, insidious ways that we might give, but it's really a catch. So just notice that and uncatch it so that you can either not give in that scenario or give in a way that is truly generous. And when we give, sometimes we feel like we lost something. Anybody ever give clothes or something to Goodwill and then wish that they had it back? I've done it before, like that shirt I didn't wear for 5 or 10 years, and then suddenly I give it and I'm like, "Oh, I would really like to wear that shirt." So it's just that, it's that little bit of lack and limitation that just comes up again, right? That arises every so often. It's not that we have to be hard on ourselves, we just notice it. And go, okay, that's not the place I'm dwelling in. I want to dwell in that spirit that knows that there is plenty and that I can give and allow all to have, that I can be wealthy and generous. And so if this is another important one, I got a lot of sort of pitfalls of giving to share with you today. But this one I think is really important, and it is when we give to somebody, not to, even if they're in a temporary need, maybe they're having food insecurity or something, to not give as if they are needy, but see them as the divine potential, the wholeness that they are, and equal to you, and that you are simply recognizing that this person is in a temporary need, and I am giving to them because I see the bigness, the greatness, the magnificence, the truth, the divine, the potential in them. That's where I'm giving to, not out of some kind of one-ups, kind of one-upsmanship kind of space, you know? So sometimes we can get into that, oh, those poor people, they don't have, you know? And instead, if we can just go, oh, there's a temporary need here that I can help fulfill for this divine being. So it's just those ways that we can shift and check ourselves and notice the consciousness from which we are sharing our good. And giving, of course, unconditionally without strings is always a lovely way to give. So there was a Kenyan tribe 7 months after 9/11, and they were just, their hearts were heavy still. In fact, I think it was actually 7 months that they heard about what had happened in 9/11. And so they got together in their ceremonial dress and did ceremony and then came together as a tribe to discuss what they could do, what could they contribute to these people in New York City who had had such a tragic experience. And they came up with an idea and they followed through on their idea and they sent 16 cows to New York City. Now, probably New York City didn't need 16 cows. But here's the point. They gave from a pure heart. They gave something that was of great value to themselves. They gave at the risk of maybe some of their own food insecurity in solidarity with people they had never met because they felt that impulse of generosity. To do something, to give something. Anybody felt that recently? We have no shortage of things that arise in our world, right? And ways that we want to give and contribute. So instead of allowing ourselves to get completely bogged down in the heaviness of it, give, and it breaks up that energy and it allows you to be part of the solution instead of the problem. Give as you feel guided to give. Financially, of your time, of your kindness, of your genuine prayers, whatever it is that feels true for you. So one other thing I want to talk about briefly is that while prosperity is so much more than money, we do have this concrete thing called money that really helps meet us at the border between our physicality and our spirituality. Because money is physical and it's measurable. And so the practice that many ministries teach, including ours, is this idea of tithing, giving 10% of our income to the places that we are spiritually fed or the people with whom we receive, right? However we receive spiritually, that helps us on our spiritual journey. Now, don't get hung up on the idea of 10%. 10% literally means a tithe. But if 5% is a stretch for you, or 7% is a stretch for you, whatever it is, what helps is that we create this sort of measurement for ourselves. It allows us a concrete thing in the invisible, out of the invisible realm, that we can help sort of work our prosperity. And so when we do this, when we begin to kind of net it out and say, okay, this is not an expense, by the way. It's just I receive my good from the universe, and I give 10% of it back out into the universe where I'm spiritually fed, and then I have this 90% or this 95% or whatever's left to meet my expenses. So that's kind of the thinking that helps us stay in this flow. And so when we do so, it allows us then to recognize how we are giving and where we are giving and when we are giving and how much we are giving. And eventually, it's like it doesn't really matter how much we're giving, right? But because we start to just give because the giving impulse takes over. That natural desire to give and to be generous takes over. And eventually, if you go back and look at your financial records, you might find yourself quite surprised that you probably gave more than you thought. So it just gives us this sort of measurement and this way to sort of bring in some structure around this amorphous thing we call prosperity and flow and abundance and spirituality. So I mentioned this law of circulation, right? The giving and the receiving. But we haven't talked much about that second part, the receiving. I have a friend that called recently and said, and this friend is a huge giver of her time. She volunteers everywhere or had in the past. In fact, she's won awards for the so many hours that she's contributed in volunteering. But she's been having some mobility issues, and so she hasn't been able to drive to get to the places where she has traditionally volunteered. And so she said, I have a really hard time asking for help. And I said, well, you really love giving, don't you? She said, yes. And I said, well, why would you rob anybody else of the opportunity to give to you? Oh, she said. I'm going to have to ponder that. I guess I need to be a better receiver. And so there is that other side of it, right, that we need to work to be sure that we are also keeping the channel open to receive. I've had to check myself on saying no to gifts that I felt like were especially generous and just like, okay, do not say that. Say thank you. I so appreciate your generosity and receive, right, because it is giving to that other person as well. So generosity is a great gift that we can give to the world right now, right? Being that very essence of generosity in the world. The world certainly can use it to heal, to transform, to be all that we can all be together. And to do it, we need to lose our lids. So don't forget to lose your lid. Notice what your lids are and then take them off and see how the light and the love and the breath of spirit moves through the world without it. How much easier it is to live without apology, without squashing down your potential and the possibilities that could happen. And let's live instead in the divine flow. Let's live instead in the very essence of prosperity. Let's know this truth that I am wealthy and generous. Let's say it together. I am wealthy and generous, so it is.